Thank you so much for tuning in to the Hope Church Sunday podcast. We hope that you are encouraged, blessed, and motivated to walk out the gospel as you hear this message by Heath Adamson.
And some of the most valuable treasures in life come not when we discover something new, but when we pause and we recognize something that has been around for quite a while. I was reminded of this recently. It was in August of 2017 where astronomers who had their instruments dialed into outer space, over 4,000 scientists from all over the world received a signal. It took them immensely off guard, and it caused over 4,000 astronomers and scientists to dial in their telescope and their other instruments to find out what in the world is going on in outer space. What had happened is there was a significant explosion that took place, and it really caught the scientific community completely off guard. And so I did some research, I read a few articles about it, and evidently here's what happened. When a star collapses, the core of that star is so dense that one teaspoon weighs over 1 billion tons. So to put that into perspective, it would be like having two or three peanut M&Ms go up against an airplane, and an airplane flying at top speed runs into the peanut M&Ms and it obliterates the airplane. That is how dense the matter is at the core of a collapsed star. Well, evidently, in August of 2017, two collapsed stars, or they call them neutron stars, they somehow collided. And the explosion was so significant and magnanimous that it created gamma rays. The scientists discovered it created what is called a ripple in space and time. It caused a gravitational wave to just kind of come into existence instantaneously. But that is not the only thing that happened. Something else unique happened, and scientists discovered that from that explosion of the two neutron stars, trillions and trillions of dollars of gold, platinum, and uranium, some of the most priceless elements and most valuable elements on the earth, in outer space somewhere were instantaneously created. And I remember one article I was reading where someone mentioned that the first trillionaire with the T, who will walk the face of the earth will probably be someone who learns how to harvest all of the treasure that is on near-Earth asteroids that is collected from all of these explosions that exist somewhere out there. Well, it's kind of fun to learn about, but what really caught my attention was when the scientists communicated that evidently this explosion didn't happen in August of 2017. Evidently, the explosion, according to them, happened 130 million years previous to its discovery. Some of the greatest treasures exist because of something that happened years and years ago. And although trillions and trillions of dollars is a significant treasure, I would suggest the greatest treasure has nothing to do with gold or platinum or uranium, or neutron stars, and all of these things. The greatest treasure has to do with something that happened years ago, but it was not an explosion or a collision of stars. The treasure was found in the life and the message and the person and the death and the resurrection of Jesus. He is the greatest treasure. And as we celebrate his last week on the earth, what I want to talk to you about just briefly today is pausing to remember the treasure that we have in the person, the life, and the resurrection of Jesus. Jesus tells us in John chapter 11, I am the resurrection and the life. Jesus played an active role in his own resurrection. Think about that for a moment. Jesus actually participated while dead in raising himself from the dead. It's unbelievable. It's indescribable. But what is even more indescribable than that, why Jesus would die and raise himself from the dead to begin with. The Bible says in John chapter 12, the next day a great multitude had come to the feast. And when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, they took branches of palm trees, hence Palm Sunday, and they went out to meet him. And they cried out, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel." So the context of Palm Sunday is this. As Jesus comes into first century Jerusalem, he had just healed blind Bartimaeus outside of the city of Jericho as Bartimaeus was begging beside the road. Jesus is riding a donkey and he comes into Jerusalem. And Jesus is getting ready to experience some of the most painful, tumultuous, uncertain moments of his entire life. And what's interesting is never is Jesus caught off guard. Never is Jesus taken by surprise. On Palm Sunday, we pause to remember that in the midst of significant uncertainty, in the midst of seasons in life where we're really not quite sure what to expect next, it is with this backdrop and this context that Jesus does his greatest work, where we see the greatest treasure of all, the death and the resurrection of Jesus. Jesus will soon be betrayed with a kiss by one of his closest friends, Judas. Judas Iscariot. Who was Judas? Judas was handpicked by Jesus after an all-night prayer meeting. Judas demonstrated such leadership ability that Jesus placed the responsibility or the load of keeping track of the treasury. Judas was the accountant of the ministry of Jesus. Now, let's be clear. The Gospels tell us that Jesus, in many ways, was homeless. The Bible says the Son of Man had nowhere to lay his head. And yet, at the same time, Jesus was far from poor. The Bible tells us that at one time, they carried 8 months' salary in the money bag of which Judas was entrusted with. Judas was close enough to Jesus that during the Lord's Supper, he dipped his bread into the cup, which was a custom of honor for whoever was invited to the feast. The master or leader of the feast would invite the guest of honor to dip his bread into the cup, and Judas did just that. Judas was beside Jesus during his entire public ministry, and it is Judas who will betray Jesus, not with a slap, but with a kiss, for the price of 30 pieces of silver, the price, by the way, of a common slave in first century Jerusalem. It is also during this week where Jesus will predict his own death. Jesus knows very well what is just ahead. We find after Palm Sunday that Jesus communicates his most extensive teaching on who the person of the Holy Spirit is. It is found in John chapter 16. Jesus makes the statement, "I am the way, the truth, and the life," after they wave the palm branches when Jesus comes into Jerusalem. Jesus will wash his disciples' feet after Palm Sunday, which ironically at this time only a Gentile slave was allowed to wash someone's feet. It was considered so insulting. And yet Jesus, the Son of God, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world, will do what only a mere slave is allowed to do. The King of Kings stoops to conquer. It is during this last week of Jesus where we see Jesus teach in Matthew 24. He talks about the signs of the end of the age. Jesus makes it abundantly clear that yes, in life there will be moments of uncertainty. There will be moments of sorrow. There will even be moments of deep pain. But What you need to understand is I already know what is coming. Therefore, you can be still. You can be at peace because I am the way. I am the truth and I am the life. It is during this last week of Jesus where when he comes into Jerusalem, he will once again go into the temple where he flips tables upside down. The bags and bowls of money go all over the floor. Why does Jesus do that? He does it not just once, but twice. Jesus does this at the beginning of his ministry and he does it at the end of his ministry. He does it to send a clear message that who you perceive God to be and how you use God for unjust gain is wrong, and I will not stand for it. All of these things and many more take place during the last week that Jesus lives on the earth, and it all begins with today, Palm Sunday. It is in the garden a few days after today where Jesus will express his emotions. You know, it's interesting that we are instructed in the Bible to love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Emotions are God-given. It is okay to express emotion. We, however, should never be ruled or controlled by emotion. In the Garden of Gethsemane, when Jesus asked his friends, his closest friends, to pray with him, they fall asleep. Jesus is under immense pressure, so much so to where the gospel record tells us he sweats drops of blood, a medical condition I've been told is called hematidrosis. And Jesus expresses his emotion with a deep cry. What is Jesus doing? He's showing us that faith is not the absence of emotion. Faith is understanding that when you feel emotion, you express it, but you also understand that what you think and feel is not always the end of the story. Faith acknowledges that in the midst of expressing emotion, we can still be victorious because of who our God is. It is during this last week where Peter will deny Jesus not once but three times. Last of which is before an adolescent slave girl. This is not a fun week for Jesus. And when Jesus comes into the ancient city of Jerusalem and they wave palm branches, although many around him are celebrating, Jesus knows that in many ways what he is experiencing is only a half truth, for he is well aware it will not get easier. And yet, nonetheless, Jesus forges on. Jesus will become a victim of injustice where he experiences a legal trial that is far from legal. He is persecuted, he is beaten, and he is murdered by corrupt law enforcement and corrupt religious officials in broad daylight. And Jesus will die on the cross for the sins of the world. Jesus, in this final week of his life, could have easily called upon angels to come and everything would have changed. And why? Why does Jesus come into the city knowing full well what is about to happen? Why does he intentionally place himself into a moment where he knows it will be unbearable unless the Father gives him the grace to endure? Why would he do that? Well, the same gospel writer who gives us John 12 tells us in John chapter 3, starting in verse 16, it says, "This is why Jesus endured everything and more in this final week. It is because God so loved the world that he gave his only son so that anyone who believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but so that through the world, through him, the world might be saved." The Bible goes on to tell us that greater love has no one than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Jesus is not just another religious leader who died for his faith. Jesus is not plan B because of what Adam and Eve did in the garden. Jesus was God the Father's plan all along. The Bible tells us in Revelation chapter 13, verse 8, that Jesus is the Lamb slain for sinners since before the foundation of the world. Jesus is the innocent, pure Son of God who voluntarily laid his life down on the cross for the sins of the world. And it is during this Passover festival, during the final week of Jesus, where Jesus himself will become the Passover lamb. The prophet Isaiah described it perfectly in Isaiah chapter 53. This is what it says. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And as one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. And upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And by his wounds we are healed. Why are they waving palm branches as Jesus comes into Jerusalem during this final week of his life? Well, Luke chapter 19, starting in verse 35, tells us another reason why they're waving palm branches. This is what it says. The crowd threw their own clothes on the colt, and they set Jesus on him. And as he went, many spread their clothes on the road. So as Jesus comes into Jerusalem during the final week of his life, he's getting ready to be betrayed, humiliated, unjustly treated, crucified, and eventually he will play an active role in raising himself from the dead. Jesus has a unique experience. The crowd is waving palm branches, and the crowd is laying their clothes on the streets in front of Jesus. Why? Why would they do that? The same Jesus who fed the multitude, who cared for and loved the multitude, the same Jesus who healed the multitude, is the same Jesus who is not controlled by the opinions of the multitude. The multitude is greeting Jesus on the road with branches of palms, laying their clothes on the street. And here was the custom. When a prophet of God came into a city, what people did is they took their garments, their outer garments, and they laid them on the road in front of the prophet. So as they lay their clothes on the road in front of Jesus, what they're saying is this: Jesus, we believe that you are a prophet of God. Now that's interesting, because Jesus is more than a prophet. Jesus is the Son of God. And the palm branch is the oldest symbol of the nation of Israel. Believe it or not, it is not the Star of David. It is the palm branch, the oldest coins related to the nation of Israel. Israel do not have the Davidic star. They have the palm branch. And to wave a palm branch in public was against Roman law. To display a palm branch in public was against Roman law. And it was punishable upon death. The individual who displayed the palm branch, after they were killed, their house was burned, and their family was completely displaced. And the reason is because at this time in history, the Roman government had a lot of difficulty with nationalistic, patriotic behavior from the nation of Israel. It appeared as if almost month after month, year after year, somebody showed up in Jerusalem appearing to be the Messiah and promising to give Israel back her sovereignty as a nation and to give the Jewish people back their freedom as God's chosen ones. So when Jesus comes into ancient Jerusalem and they're waving the palm branches, it is not a sign that the crowd believes that Jesus is the Son of God who has come to die for the sins of the world. In many ways, the palm branch is their way of saying, Jesus, you are a political leader and you are a spiritual revolutionary, and it is on this day that you're going to crush the Roman Empire, and now we can become a sovereign nation again. After Jesus invested years of his life caring for the poor, raising the young girl from the dead, having a conversation with the Samaritan woman at the well as he shatters issues of those who are marginalized, as he shatters issues related to gender inequality, he talks to the Samaritan woman at the well. Jesus, who feeds the multitude simply by giving thanks to the Father for what was in his hand. Jesus, who loved people enough to tell them the truth, even if it was never politically correct. This Jesus, who had been with these people, even as he begins the final week of his life, he is severely misunderstood. The palm branch signifies this, that even up to the final week of the life of Jesus, people are still trying to turn Jesus into who they perceive him to be and in who they want him to be, rather than treasuring Jesus for who he really is. One of the things we pause to remember on this Palm Sunday is sometimes we can do the very thing that the crowd did a few thousand years ago. That sometimes our situations or our circumstances or our religious preferences or sometimes our thoughts and our emotions can cause us to try to convince God to become who we want God to be. But as Jesus comes into Jerusalem during the final week of his life, we pause to remember that the greatest treasure is not necessarily what Jesus will do for us. The greatest treasure is who Jesus is. We wave the palm branch as Jesus comes into our homes when we pray and read the Bible and worship, when we try to manipulate the promises of God so that we can have a fulfillment of God's promise in our life without craving intimacy with him. It is on Palm Sunday we pause to say, Jesus, you are the greatest treasure. Now we understand why in Luke chapter 19, after they waved the palm branch, this is what Jesus is saying to himself. Luke 19, verse 41. Now as Jesus drew near, he saw the city waving palm branches, the city laying their clothes down on the street. He saw the city and he wept. He wept over it, saying, if you had known, even you, especially in this your day, the things that make for your peace, but now they are hidden. They are hidden from your eyes. For days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment around you, surround you, and close you in on every side, a reference to what takes place around the year AD 67 to AD 70 when the Romans sack Jerusalem. Verse 44, and level you and your children within you to the ground, and they will not leave in you one stone upon another. Why? Because you did not know the time of your visitation. Palm Sunday is not necessarily the crowd recognizing and celebrating that the King of Kings is coming into Jerusalem to lay his life down for the sins of the world. No, according to the gospel record in John 12, Palm Sunday is a reminder to us all that we never worship a God that we presume to be. We do not try to get God to fit into our own personal box of preference. No, that we stand in awe of who Jesus is. Jesus is the treasure of all. Jesus did not come to create another religion. Jesus did not come to simply give us a few principles to live by. It is Jesus and only Jesus that we have reason to hope and reason to believe that the separation that our sin has caused between us and the Father can in any way be dealt with. It is because of what Jesus did during this final week of his life. And a few days after Palm Sunday, when Jesus sits around a table with some of his closest friends, and Jesus is getting ready to share the Passover meal, and Jesus looks each one of them in the eye, and he takes the bread, and he takes the cup, and this is what he says to his friends. In the midst of an ordinary moment, surrounded by uncertainty, the disciples are not quite sure what's going to happen. The hour is becoming very, very dark. Some of the disciples are anxious. Some of them are scared and nervous. We know this because of what will happen shortly after the Lord's Supper. During a time of significant uncertainty, this is what Jesus says to his disciples as they celebrate what we call the Lord's Supper. He says, do this. Do something ordinary, like eat a meal. Do something ordinary and remember me. Do this in remembrance of me. On this Palm Sunday, we pause and we remember the greatest treasure of all happened years and years ago, but it has nothing to do with the explosion in space. And it certainly has nothing to do with money or gold. The greatest treasure of all for all of humanity to discover and to embrace is the person, the life, the message, the death, and the eventual resurrection of Jesus. It is on him that everything centers, and it is on him that everything rests. And what about you? Perhaps you can relate to some of the uncertainty that Jesus and his closest friends experienced that Palm Sunday kicked off during the final week of the Lord's life. Perhaps you can relate to things like the pain that is caused when people close to you hurt you. I think we all know what it is like to have someone close to us at times hurt us. Perhaps you can relate to the fact that you maybe have been severely misunderstood. Jesus was. They're waving palm branches because many of them think he is a political revolutionary. No, it's not why he came. He came to take away the sins of the world. Many people confused his identity, but Jesus did not allow that to cause him to become a chameleon. And maybe you can relate to that on this Palm Sunday as well. That when people try to pressure you to become someone you're not, you can pause and do what Jesus did when he instructed his disciples at supper. Hey, do this. Live life. Eat a meal. And remember me. Do this in remembrance of me. So Lord, you are the great treasure. It is through you and by you and for you all things exist. You are the center of it all. Without you, there is no hope. Without you, there is no forgiveness of sin. Without you and your death and your resurrection, our prayers mean nothing. the events of this final week of your life without them, there would be no reason to live. But because of what happens between Palm Sunday and Easter Sunday, we have hope. We have an assurance of faith. We know that we know that we know that we can confess our sins, and you are faithful and just to forgive us and also to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Because you are the resurrection and the life, there is no situation we will ever face that is beyond your reach. That you play an active role, not just in your own resurrection, but in the resurrection of those things in our lives that appear to be dead, but to you, they're just sleeping. On this Palm Sunday, we pause and we remember you, Jesus, the greatest treasure of all. And as you're watching or listening right now, I want you to just right where you are, perhaps to just pause and ask yourself this question. Who is Jesus? And I believe there are many who right now are watching. And perhaps this is the first time you've really asked yourself that question. And right now in your heart, you know that there's something more. And you know that perhaps something is missing. And you know who it is. It's Jesus. And if you've never asked Jesus to forgive you, his answer is yes. And right where you are, if you want to make your peace with God and put your faith and trust in the one who endured everything between Palm Sunday and Resurrection Sunday, not just for your neighbor, not just for a pastor, not just for a coworker, but for you, then right where you are, you can pray, Jesus, I need you in my life. I want to know you. Jesus, I want to have a relationship with you. God, I want to know the reality of heaven in my life today. I want to know the greatest treasure of all, which is to live a life in deep connection to God through Jesus. Right where you are, you can pray that and you can ask that. So Lord, I pray for those who right now have made things right with you. For those who right now have paused and realized and remembered that the greatest treasure of all is not getting a promotion. It's not getting a pay raise. It's not getting anything that this world has to offer. The greatest treasure of all is you. And for those who are followers of Christ who are listening, God, we declare and we commit that on this Palm Sunday, we will not live a life to wave a branch of palm and misunderstand or confuse who you are. Because you are not just a leader. You are not just a follower who has given us principles. No, you are the Son of God. And through you and for you and by you are all things. Perhaps between now and Resurrection Sunday, you would do this, you and your family, take time, look at scriptures, and read everything that Jesus experienced and endured during this final week of living on planet Earth. He did everything with you in mind. And Jesus adores you, and he loves you. He is for you. And this is more than just Christian jargon. This is truth, the truth that is found in the Gospels. And on this Palm Sunday, we pause and remember that Jesus is the greatest treasure of all. God bless you.